The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses from 21 to 26. It's on the page 235. Allow me to read the words of God. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Amen. High and low waves keep going on in the ocean because it's alive. Through such high and low winds and waves, the sea maintains its life. Life is often compared with sailing. The reason why major and minor problems continuously arise is also the evidence that people are alive. To a dead man, any problem can never take place. Even if that's the same problem about life, the meaning of the problem fundamentally differs to Christians. Those problems, serious and trivial, that Christians might face through the voyage of life are the touch of merciful God, who would like to purify your thoughts and minds, and polish your life like gemstones. From this perspective, Paul's confession that we are studying for 4 weeks has very important meaning. Paul's confession reminds us of how to respond when facing the deadly hurricane of Northeaster in the voyage of life, and how to overcome the wind. Those who were on board the Alexandrian ship lost control of the ship upon the hurricane of Northeaster. Their properties, which they took every risk to protect, had to be thrown away into the sea. In complete the darkness, they couldn't eat or drink for several days, as there was no sign that the deadly wind could die down. The hope of salvation vanished finally. Just then, there was one man who stood up among the people at the moment when others fell into despair, even with no hope to be saved. One man stood up from the bottom. That was the Apostle Paul. It wasn't a result of his strong will or faith. It was possible for Paul because God stayed with Paul even in the deadly hurricane. Paul confessed about such God as the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. To Paul, God was the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. The God whom Paul served was not the idols made of metal or marble, which have mouth but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, which have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell, which have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can which utter a sound with their throats. The God to whom Paul belonged and whom Paul served was the God who stayed beside Paul and talked to him. The God wasn't vaguely talking from a distance, nor wasn't he talking only in broad daylight when the weather was sunny and warm. The God to whom Paul belonged and whom Paul served came to Paul, who were swept by the deadly hurricane northeaster in the middle of the Mediterranean in the middle of the night, when it was unclear if it was day or night, and talked to him in person. What we are going to focus from today is what God told Paul about in the middle of the night when there was a hurricane of death. In verse 24, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." God first told Paul, "Do not be afraid." When there were two people in front of us, we are able to know what happened to both of them with hearing from one of the two. For example, if a wife answers a call from his husband and asks, "Are you coming home drunk again tonight?" It would mean that the husband drinks every day and almost addicted to alcohol. If a mother asks her child, "Are you still playing online games?" It means the child broke the appointment that he made with his mother. Through what a son told his old father not to drive, we could assume that the old father might have caused several times of accidents while driving at night. What God told Paul first in the stormy wind of Northeaster was, "Do not be afraid." This means that Paul was afraid in the wild storm. If he wasn't afraid, God had no need or reason to say so. The Apostle Paul was not someone who was fundamentally different from us. He had the same nature as us and was as vulnerable as us. He was strong only when relying on the Lord who rose from death in 3 days. He would have not been different from us who were nervous every time and afraid of everything if God wasn't with him. Peter in Matthew chapter 14 was no different. When the disciples went across the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night, the disciples were in trouble with a sudden wild wind. The Lord saw it when praying in the mountain and came to the ship the disciples were aboard. With no expectation at all that God would walk on the water, they were terrified and cried out in fear, thinking the Lord was a ghost. And God told them in Matthew 14:27, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." They woke up with the voice saying, "It is I, don't be afraid," and realized that it wasn't a ghost who walked on the sea. It was the Lord. Peter asked God if he really was the Lord to let Peter walk on the water as well. God commanded him to walk on the water, and Peter started walking on the stormy water toward the Lord, relying on God's command. Then the wind became stronger. Peter looked back to see the wind was cried out in fear and fell into the water. God reached out his hand, took hold of him, and said in Matthew 14:31, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" How Peter had become a man with little faith, and why and what did he doubt? As long as Peter sees Jesus before him, violent storm, the Sea of Galilee, or nothing could be a problem. Peter walked again the wind on the Sea of Galilee toward Jesus step by step. At the moment, however, when Peter looked back to see the wind getting stronger, when there was only the storm in the sight of Peter, he was overwhelmed by the strength of the wind. When God is no more there in the sight of Peter, there was nothing he could do but cried out and fell into the sea. At the moment when Peter considered the wind was stronger than Jesus, he became someone of little faith and ended up having doubts about Jesus when saying that he believed in Jesus. Whose faith is bigger? It's those who believe that the Trinity God is bigger than anything or anyone in the world. No matter how big faith he might have, however, if God is not there in the sight of him, he could easily become one with little faith and drown into the storm of the world. To those who cannot see God, all the storm of the world would always become the subject of fear. During the third mission trip in Macedonia, Paul testified 3 times, "I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and a day in the open sea," in the Corinthians 11:25. Through his mission trip 3 times around the Mediterranean, Paul already had the experience of the storm in the sea. But the storm of Northeaster was not the same as the previous ones. It was unprecedentedly fearful wind of death. Upon such a deadly storm, when people lost their control over the ship, and the ship was swept away by the storm, wasn't Paul also afraid among those who cried out in fear? Would he not be afraid when the ship was shaking hard, even after throwing all the properties that people tried every way to protect? When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, instead of dying down, wouldn't Paul be afraid? When people on board the ship finally gave up all hope of being saved and fell into despair, would old and weary Paul not be afraid? Until he saw God again. In other words, during when he only saw the storm of death, he couldn't help but was afraid like others. Therefore, the first word of God to Paul was, "Do not be afraid." God wasn't saying to all of those who were on board or to unspecified individuals. God called Paul's name and talked only to Paul. "Do not be afraid." When Peter obeyed God's command to walk on the water, the strong wind was no problem. On the contrary, when Peter saw the storm, instead of Jesus, he was overwhelmed by the wind and fell into the sea. Paul was the opposite. When he saw the storm of Northeaster in the Mediterranean, he was afraid, just like others. However, since when he saw God calling his name and saying, "Do not be afraid," the storm of death was no problem at all to Paul. He stood up, told all those who gave up all hope to be saved to rejoice, and proclaimed a message of hope. This was not the only time. It was when Paul visited a corrupt city of Corinth during his second mission trip. Like it did so far, he went to a Jewish synagogue to preach the gospel. But the Jews in Corinth considered Paul a traitor against Judaism and opposed him. They turned away Paul from their synagogue. Then Titus Justus offered his house, which was next door to the synagogue, and Paul made it as the center of the gospel. However, it was way too much risky. Think about it from the perspective of the Jews who opposed Paul and expelled Paul from the synagogue. Considering Paul making the house right next to the synagogue as the center of the gospel, would they leave such Paul alone? Would they not seek harm to Paul anyway? It wasn't sure for Paul when, where, and how he could be in trouble in the city of corruption. Under such circumstances, would Paul not naturally be afraid? God told him then as follows: "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." Again, the first word that the Lord talked to Paul was, "Do not be afraid." Paul from Asia went to Europe for the first time in his life and was frightened without noticing, unexpectedly facing trouble in Corinth, a city of corruption. Everything was fearful in the eye of Paul. God, who told Paul not to be afraid, went on to say, "No one was going to attack and harm you because God was staying always with you." Even without his recognition, God was all the time with him. And God reaffirmed that fact with Paul. Paul relied upon God and boldly spread the gospel in Corinth, where the Jews formed a gang to oppose him for 1.5 years. That was not all. When visiting Corinth again during his third mission trip, he wrote the Book of Rome, which was called as the essence of the gospel. When he saw God in front of him, nothing could affect him. In the beginning, God made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. But sinful man lost the breath of life obtained from God. Man, who were formed by the dust, became the spirit of life thanks to the breath of life given by the Lord, turned back to the dust without the breath of life from God. So every man goes back to the dust upon death. Even though we look good in shape now, we all are helplessly the dust in the end. Our bodily breath that will end up being the dust can never last long. Like we learned in the first semester's Bible study, our body disappears in direct proportion of the times of the breath we take. how come there is such a great value in the life that keeps disappearing into dust whenever taking breath? It would end up being a handful of dust. Then how could a life be guaranteed secure? The harder we think, the less value and meaning the disappearing life itself has. That's why all people are afraid of their incomplete beings. Even with a quiet wind and rain to life, we fear. With a warehouse full of grains, we worry tomorrow. After living 70 to 80 years, we get afraid of death when being sentenced with cancer. To the sight of men disappearing into dust, problems of the world always get focused. We fear every moment. With the smallest amount of rain, we all go back to the dust. The problems of the world always get focused. However, from when the Lord appears in the eye, all men can set free of the fear. The Lord, who was killed as the sacrifice of the cross to pay for the sins of men, lived again from death in 3 days. Such God is with us. And what kind of storm can we never beat? Such God is engaged. And what kind of storm is not under God's mysterious providence? When Paul only saw the hurricane of Northeaster, it was the fearful storm of death. But when he started to see God, who told him, "Do not be afraid," the Northeaster was no more a storm of death. That was a gracious touch of God, which will purify the spirit of Paul before standing in the court of the emperor and make him stronger and healthier when living the last stage of his life. Going further, the hurricane of Northeaster was the mysterious providence of God, who will save the 275 lives who were on board the Alexandrian ship through Paul. Paul alone was no greater than an old and sick man who were afraid of the storm of death. But with God in his sight, he was a great apostle who bravely saved 275 lives from the hurricane of death. Such Paul went to the guillotine for the Lord in Rome, where he suffered all the troubles to find. He was executed by beheading. Before being executed, would he not be afraid of tomorrow when being chained and waiting for the day broken? Wouldn't he be fearful when walking to be executed? As long as the execution remains from his sight, he must have felt fear. Then how come he didn't avoid the execution and fulfill the mission as preparatus and martyrs of God? At the time, again, the Lord might appear to Paul. And tell him with his arms open to Paul, "It is I. Don't be afraid. I will raise you forever from death." Paul willingly gave his life for God without fear, and God renew the history of the world through Paul and made him live an eternal life that goes beyond the time and place in Jesus, who lived again in 3 days. During the past week, what filled our sight? How many times you saw God in the past 7 days? Was it not true that you couldn't see God because your sight was full of the world? Was it not true that there was no chance that God could be engaged? If that's the case, we would helplessly live as a slave to fear and worry in the voyage of life that will disappear every day as the dust. Let us not forget the Lord stays not far away over the mountain, across the sea, nor up in the sky. God stays always in our vision. God is always with us. He's calling each name of us who are afraid of every wind and wave of the world, and is saying, "Do not be afraid." Faith is to recognize such God and boldly answer to the voice of God who says, "Do not be afraid." And then those winds and waves of the world will become merciful touch that purifies our spirit and polish our life like shiny gemstones. In the end, even though we alone are nothing more than a handful of dust disappearing in the wind, with God, we will be able to become an Apostle Paul who bravely saved 275 lives from the deadly hurricane. The joy and pleasure of Christians serving God as our Lord is right there. Let us pray. God, you didn't criticize Paul for being afraid of the deadly hurricane. Instead, you helped Paul reaffirm that you are already with him in the storm and said, do not be afraid, to encourage his faith. We thank you that God of such Paul is our guide. During the past week, our sight was full of this world. There was no time even to try to see God. Consequently, we were never set free from worries and fears in our lives that disappear day by day into dust. But you never gave up on us, called each of our names instead, and encouraged us not to be afraid. We thank you for that. From now, help us live with courage, recognizing God every moment, whenever God stays in our sight, and answering the voice of God saying, do not be afraid, so that the winds and waves of the world become the merciful touch that purifies our souls and shines our lives like gemstones. Help us to live as boldly as possible, but keep us from being a man with less faith, even for a moment. Through each and every one of us who live such a life, may the light and hope of salvation be shed to many of those with no hope of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.